Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaveyankara Bhavahai Tejasvinavayi Tamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. So, any means everybody's clear on these 14 books, right? How they all connect. Okay, so then general definitions. Now we have conditioned and constitutional. So conditioned means that the living entity is, how you say, controlled by the material energies under its influence. So therefore they will have, according to their particular mentality, their consciousness, then they will develop a particular body, right? That'll be in a particular situation. Does that make sense? So they'll be comfortable with that. And that they will identify as themselves. Well, constitutional means the natural position. You know, generic definition would mean that they are in their position as servant of Krishna. Their natural position in a serving mood towards Krishna, right, on the transcendental platform. And but at the same time, it also would mean that they have their particular spiritual form, their spiritual nature. In other words, the generic is that they serve Krishna, they're worshiping Krishna, right? But specific would be their specific nature, just like, you know, their, you know, what particular service they're rendering to Krishna. So then, so it's, we see a similar as in the material world, generic, one is under the influence and the modes of nature, and one has at any specific time a specific form. Right? Does that make sense? Yes? No? Right. In other words, you have the material body through which you perform your activities you identify with, right? Material activities. So then transcendental, constitutional means transcendental form, transcendental activities. So in either case, there's a specific nature, right? But the generic is servant of Krishna or under the influence of the external energy, right? Does that make sense? That definition covers everybody. Is that okay? Is that clear? Right? Yes.
You mentioned before that nature is purified, not changing.
Nature is purified, not changed, yes.
So, is our nature before, you know, trying to go back to Godhead, is that of any bearing on nature when we're
here? Does our nature in the spiritual world have any bearing on our nature here? Means the generic, yes, but specific, no. Generic, that we're supposed to be servants of Krishna, that will have a bearing on here, in that as we accept that and take that up, then we progress, and as we don't, we don't. But specifically what rasa one's in the spiritual world has absolutely nothing to do with anything here. Like that. Does that make sense? Sometimes people try to connect it, but it has absolutely no connection. Because you can be anything here. Right. If one has taken up devotional service, he's been through every species of life that there is and has started to doubt that he can be happy in the material world. Right. Does that make sense? So there's no connection. Okay. Anything else? No? Okay, the reflection. Okay, so we have the spiritual world. It's reflected on the water of material desire, right? The living entity has desire, material desire. So that water, you know, because that's water represents rasa, that creates the reflection. So therefore, then the material world looks like the spiritual world, but everything's upside down. Right? So what's down is actually, means up, means the root is up. I'm saying the example is given of a tree that's upside down. Like you look in the water, the tree in the water is what? Right side up or upside down? Yeah, so it's the same way as the material world, the reflection is upside down. So what's higher there is considered lower here, what's lower there is considered higher here. Right? Like that. So this reflection is there. So it looks like the spiritual world, but it's not. That's why we become easily bewildered, is because it looks like what the spiritual world does. You know, it has trees, there's birds, there's rivers, mountains, everything is the same. You have people, you have families, you know, you have parents, you have children. It's all the same thing that's in the spiritual world. Only there it's eternal and full of bliss, and here it's temporary and full of distress. So our illusion is thinking that what's here is permanent and will always make us happy. Yeah.
So Mara, is just the mentality which reflects, it's opposite, or?
The mentality reflects? Well, it's reflecting is that the form is reflecting, but who is, means we think, means in the spiritual world they think Krishna is the center of everything. But in the material world, the living entity thinks they're the center of everything. Does that make sense? So that's the perversion, because then the living entity is trying to be God. Right? Not that the living entity is acknowledging God and his position. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this reflection then will be used many times in discussing the philosophy, because in there you can see the connections, why things are there. So otherwise one will, the impersonalists, because they don't understand this reflection, they reject the material world and all its forms and everything, but they reject the whole concept. Right? The problem is not attachment. The problem is not form or relationship or rasa or endeavor or results of activities. These aren't the problem. The problem is that they're being misdirected. Instead of being directed at Krishna, they're directed at ourself. So therefore, the point is material activities, material attachment, material conceptions, material rasa, material interactions, material results, these are a problem if they're not connected to Krishna. Right? But the Mayavadis, because they don't know it's a reflection, they take it that everything that we would see here and experience here is illusion, right? So the concept of form and shape, I mean form, interaction, relationships, all this they take as also as illusion, which is true on the platform that we are misperceiving what's here. Right? We're taking it that we're the center of everything and everything's for our benefit. Right? So that's why everything doesn't go so well. Right? But they can't distinguish, even though they're jnanis, they're intelligent, they're not that intelligent. Does that make sense? So they make this mistake and throw it all out. So this element of the reflection is important for understanding that what goes on here, its only use is if it's connected to Krishna. Then it's like the original form. Right? But if the material form is not used like the spiritual form is, then it becomes useless. That's illusion. But if it's used, then it gives the same kind of benefit that it does in the spiritual world. Right? Because it's the same thing. You're just using inferior ingredients. Does that make sense? Like that. So in the spiritual world, you're using all the spiritual facilities to please Krishna. So if you're in the material world, you use all the material facilities to please Krishna. What's the difference? Because the attitude is more important than the specific result. Right? So if the attitude is right here, you're getting the same kind of benefit. Does that make sense? So then the idea is that understanding this reflection, then you would try to do things properly. This would also give rise to the aspect before, the varnashram and all the other social things. Because if it's a reflection of the spiritual world, naturally it can look like the spiritual world. Therefore, the dress, the behavior, the culture is like that of the spiritual world. So that would be the reason that we would wear, you know, particular clothes that we wear, or eat the particular food, or follow the particular customs, because these are the customs and culture of the spiritual world. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why we're doing. We're not interested because it's Indian. No. That is being used in the unscrupulous arguments that they're trying to make the Vedic culture, the transcendental, eternal culture, look like something Indian that's just another modern country now. So what's the difference if we follow Indian or we follow European or American? What does it matter? It's all modern and mundane. But the point is the Indian is based on the Vedic, which is the Shastric definition of the form of the spiritual world. Right? In other words, the culture of the spiritual world is being allowed for us to follow. Does that make sense? Right? Someone is in jail, right? So then they could live a criminal's life in jail, right? Be bad, bother other people. But you don't get out for that. You understand? You behave yourself, you try to follow the same principles that are there outside the jail in the normal society. You know, being proper, behave, being responsible, not being violent. Right? So the detail of it may be a little different, but the principle is the same. So someone who has the right attitude in jail is let out of jail. Does that make sense? Then when they come to the normal society, they will behave properly because they have the same attitude. Right? So, but if someone maintains a criminal attitude, they won't be let out of jail. They won't get to the spiritual world. So the whole point is to develop the same attitude. Then, naturally, then with the attitude, there's natural forms that go with it because they go with it in the spiritual world. That is being offered for those who would like to take advantage of it. It's secondary, it's not that important, but it helps. You know what I'm saying? You dress as a devotee, then you relate to, you know, the world as a devotee. You dress as a karmi, you relate as a karmi. You know what I'm saying? You walk down the street in a dhoti, you're in your world. You're not in the karmi's world. Because the karmis look at you, you're different. Right? You wear what they wear, you're in their world. And they deal with you just like they would deal with each other. You know what I'm saying? So you're being given the opportunity that to live in the spiritual environment, practice the activities of the spiritual world, and carry that mood with you wherever you go. Right? Does that make sense? Right? And you know, the only reason you make adjustment is if it will enhance the actual preaching. Because the point is, people who take up seriously Krishna conscious don't mind following the spiritual culture. It's simply the facility to preach that you have to consider. Right? It's not that we use an adjusted culture, and therefore the people are going to grow up in that culture, and that's going to be their practices, is adjusted culture. Because if it is, then what are they going to do when they get to the spiritual world? They won't like it. You don't like wearing a dhoti here, you're not going to like wearing it in the spiritual world. It's the same dhoti. You know what I'm saying? You don't like taking prasad here, you're not going to like it there. They're going to give you rice dal and sabji over there. Eternally. You don't like it here, you're not going to like it there. Right? So therefore, it's one thing you prefer this and this is what you're used to. That's okay. But to say, I don't like this, that's going to be a problem. It's an eternal problem. Does that make sense? It's secondary. But the point is you can't be adverse to Krishna. So you can't be adverse. That means you can't be adverse to Krishna. You can't be adverse to Krishna's culture. Does that make sense? So that's why we're very careful about this. We're adverse to the concept of being in illusion and staying that way. Right? But it's not so much our inspiration, it's not our adversement to the material, it's our attraction to the spiritual. Right? And the aversion then keeps us, you know, stable in our devotion on, you know, a bad day. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes.
Some people say they don't like sticking out.
They don't like sticking out.
People thinking that they're weird, so therefore they don't.
No, that's the point. They don't like to stick out because people think they're weird, but they like to stick out. You name me the woman who wants to look exactly the same as everybody else, and you show me the guy that doesn't try to do some little personal touch. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, I don't buy the thing we don't want to stick out. Because anyway, in the Western thing, we don't stick out. We just don't. You see the people, what they walk down the street, and it's just, they look so much different. They look much more wild than us. So, what does it mean? And then you'd also have to define, what does it mean not stick out? You want to blend in. Blend into what? You know what I'm saying? What form are you going to blend into? The guys coming from Wall Street are wearing three-piece suits with ties, and their shoes are polished, and they got a briefcase. And when they walk down the street on First Avenue, they stick out, because no one else on the street there is wearing a suit. So what do? They go into a phone booth and change? No, they're a business person. You can't accept them for what they are. In the modern thing, oh, accept everyone for who they are. Why you're, you know, pointing them out for this and that. You know, why you're making distinctions. Why this and that. You know, so, and like that. So, therefore, your whole philosophy is accept everybody who you are. So why can't they accept us for who we are? You know what I'm saying? So, this is the interesting thing. And then when they were teenagers, what were they dressed in? These same people, when they were teenagers, what did they look like? They just perfectly blended in? Or did they happen to possibly look like hippies? You know, when the time was, you know, the guy kept, you know, a butch, they got hair down to their waist. When everybody were nicely fitting and nicely looking clothes, they were buying the Salvation Army. You know what I'm saying? You know, everyone else worked, these guys did nothing. That didn't stick out? You know, or punks. Or anything else. So everyone who's saying that, then that's all. So why do they want to fit in? Simply for economics. Simply because they don't have any conviction. You know what I'm saying? If there's a problem where people are actually going to physically harass or make some trouble, okay, we can understand that. But when you're in Alachua and there's 1,500 of you and you go to the local store where all the devotees go, what does that mean to fit in? They can't tell you're a Hare Krishna anyway? You know what I'm saying? You know, when a lady walks in a dumpy t-shirt, you know it's got to be a devotee. Because a karmi would wear something that looked nice. But their thing is, if it's not a string tank top, then it's got to be a dumpy t-shirt. There's only these two options. But somehow the karmi women have a wide variety of options. So I don't find that hardly any devotees fit in. And they're saying, if being a slob is fitting in, then yes, they're doing a great job. You know what I'm saying? So this fitting in, what does it mean? It sounds nice, but what is this definition of fitting in? You know what I'm saying? To some people, if you wore cargo jeans, you're weird. To some people, if you don't wear cargo jeans, you're weird. To some people, if you wore bell bottoms, that's weird. Others would say, oh, it's trendy. Someone else, if you don't wear tapered pants that are so tight and look like they're sliding off your bums and they don't come up to your proper waist, then you don't look good. And others will say, that looks really stupid. Can't they buy a pair of pants that fit? You know what I'm saying? You know, others is that they pull the pants down so the underwear sticks out. You know, like that. And others would say, that looks really stupid if your underwear sticks out. You know, in fact, you know what I'm saying? So, what is this fitting in? You know what I'm saying? That's all. So all it means is, in a mentality of what I would wear if I was a karmi, if I wear that, then I would feel I fit in. Because that's what they revert to. It's not that there's any definition or anything that would have any connection to upliftment in their consideration of clothing. They're not considering, let me dress nicely for Krishna, or let me project that we're of a certain social class, or, you know, some kind of thing that people might look like that. Oh, then you're being discriminatory. No, all it is saying is that you leave me alone, make no restrictions so I can wear whatever I want. That's all. It's not an elevating position. It's not a position of someone who's trying to progress in spiritual life. Otherwise, there would have to be some regulation on it. Otherwise, how is it progressive? So what is the condition? You know what I'm saying? So unless they were had self-imposed regulations, but that would be, they would do that anyways, a karmi. Oh, I can't look like a slob. I have to look, you know, dressed a little better. Or I couldn't dress like all those, you know, artificial people dressed up and looking, trying to look nice. I'm just being natural. You know what I'm saying? You know, so what is this thing, you know? Where I uncomfortable with our identity as a devotee, and therefore if you're uncomfortable with your identity, the sambandha, what happens with Abhideya and Prayojan? Abhideya doesn't happen, Prayojan is definitely not going to happen. That's why it's they just fit in and that's all they do. And Bhakta Jose is still not initiated after being around in every temple in America for the last 15 years. Right? Because if there's no sambandha, where is going to be the Abhideya and Prayojana? It's just science. You know, we don't have any problem you wear karmic clothes, but why are you wearing karmic clothes? We just want to fit in, we don't want to stand out. That's not good enough. Because I don't buy it. I don't buy that that's the thing. That's what comes out of their mouth, but what's in their heart is, I feel uncomfortable being identified as a devotee. That's the real reason. What comes out of the mouth is something politically correct to try to get you, throw you off track so you leave them alone. Right? So it's just the discussion's dropped, they don't have to discuss it because they don't have a reason why they're dressed like that. You know, being practical. Well, you could wear anything and be practical. Since when are pants practical? What is your definition of practical? Right? Does it mean clean? I want to be clean, so it's the most practical thing to wear to be clean, right? Something I can wash every day. Something I wouldn't mind, in fact, wearing two different sets in a day. They're going to wear a pair of pants for half a day and then wash it? No, they'll say, that's not practical. Why? Because it's not practical to wash pants like that because it takes forever to dry. You wash them like that, it takes 3 days to dry. You know how many pair of pants you'd have to have? So their practicalness is not based on something progressive. You know? So what does it mean? You know what I'm saying? If it's good for their work or something, but how devotees dress when they're being practical, I don't think anyone would hire them. You know? I really don't think they'd hire them. Does that make sense? So it's one thing you're wearing something for your job, but then when you get home, where's, you know what I'm saying? So it doesn't make sense. You know, you don't mind if it makes sense. You know, the guy has to wear a suit at the office, and he, you know, wants to come to the temple, but immediately from the temple and stay as long as he can. So he comes to the temple, he wears his suit there. Then he leaves from the temple, goes straight to work. That makes sense. You know, but on a weekend he shows up in his jeans and t-shirt. No, where's the work? That doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, the Vedic is practical. If you have to wear something else, wear it. You know what I'm saying? Pandavas are going to the forest. They have to wear deer skins. Right? So they're not wearing their other outfit. People are uncomfortable you being dressed like that. What about when the words coming out of your mouth don't agree with what they're doing? What about that? Who are these people that are uncomfortable? You're going out first time meeting somebody? Fine, wear your karmic clothes. But are they going to be comfortable with you looking like a slob? You know what I'm saying? They're going to be comfortable with that? What's going to project that this, what kind of clothes are going to project? This person is, you know, has something to say. Jeans and a t-shirt? You know, some little gelled hair. You know, what's going to project? Right? Somebody's doing a self-help seminar. Someone's doing something like this that where people want to say that they're dynamic. They don't just show up in a jeans and a t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is if they say, you know, so therefore is, what are they wearing? How are they choosing what they're going to wear? They wear what they like to wear, not what is actually for the preaching. So you don't mind it saying, the person's uncomfortable, you know? We want to establish some preaching down at the campus. So therefore, how do we go into this, you know, academics office, the dean of, you know, that particular college? How do we go in dressed to make him think that we got something to say to his students? Since the dean is in charge of the personal development of the students, what should we be wearing? Is that considered? You know what I'm saying? One or two might, but most don't. So what does that mean? They'll be uncomfortable. Right? That same person, if a Buddhist walked up to them, dressed how they dress in Thailand, which they do, would that person be uncomfortable? Oh, here's a Buddhist. You know what I'm saying? So Buddhism has only been kind of known last, what, 10 years or something? 10, like that? That, you know, like everybody knows what a Buddhist is? How long have the Hare Krishnas been around? How long it's been since Hare Krishna was a household word? That everybody knew who the Hare Krishnas were. You see a connection? Now if you have a shaved head and you wear robes, they think you're a Buddhist. Even devotees think you're a Buddhist. They don't know what devotees look like dressed in, you know, all they've ever seen is karmic clothes. And that's right. It's a problem. It's not consistent. You know, you want to make a projection. Make a projection. Then say, karmic clothes, okay, we want karmic clothes, then wear this kind of karmic clothes. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't make sense to me. Because basically, is there's no culture, there's no taste, and so therefore, then to them, it doesn't, it's not important. Anyone who's grown up in a background of culture and taste wouldn't have so much difficulty with the dress. And even if they were Karmi clothes, they'd look normal, you know, by Karmi standards. They'd look decent. You know what I'm saying? And even if you're going to say, no, America, everybody dresses as a slob because they think if you dress a little nicer, you're a snob. So then make that rule for America. But everywhere else on the planet, they dress a little, they take a little pride in their clothes. You know, and especially as you start coming, you know, this way. You know, as you hit the Middle East, you hit Asia. They all take great pride in their clothes. In fact, all the clothes in the world are made over here. Like that. You know what I'm saying? So then you would change it, but they don't change it. Because the American standards are standards for the world. But how long ago was America number one? How long ago? They're number seven in education in the world. 27. Not third, not fifth, 27. Right? 27. So they should start, you know, the euro is more powerful than the dollar. So they should stop thinking that they're going to run the world. Right? They got 50 floundering temples out of 400 in the movement. It's not they got 50 and the rest of the world got 50. You know? So they have to stop thinking like this. You know what I'm saying? You want to wear Karmi clothes in India? Look like a gentleman. The gentlemen look like it. They don't look like slobs. You know what I'm saying? You're going in Calcutta, you dress in this and that. You know, or you want to wear Karmi, you know, not saris. Then they wear their Punjabis or whatever else. Then they dress like what other cultured people would wear. They don't do that either. You know what I'm saying? So it's all it is an excuse to dress how they want. Without regulation. No control. Nobody telling me anything because it's my life. That's the bottom line. Right? There's individual taste. We don't mind within it how you wear your dhoti, your chadar, your kurta, what kind, if you borders, no borders, colors, no colors. You know, there's a lot of variety that's there. Like that. Or if you have to wear nice Karmi clothes, and what are they? There's so much variety. But they don't want to have any restriction. That's not progressive. Does that make sense? There has to be some control. Otherwise, how do you connect it to Krishna if there's no control? Out of control means not connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? So we don't mind, they feel that. But then say that. Just say, I feel uncomfortable. You know, like that, just going around, I'm not socially strong enough, I'm not a leader, I'm not a social leader, so therefore I can't set a fashion. I just got to go along and hope people aren't going to harass me because, you know, anyway, as I bought these clothes, am I going to, you know, after 6 months buy new ones to keep up with the fashion? No, so you're going to look out of place anyway. Nerds look out of place. So many people look out of place. You know what I'm saying? It's just part of the material world. Does that make sense? Yes.
So Maharaj, how to get them out of this?
How to get them out of this? At this point in time, I have no idea. Because you can't wake up a man who's pretending to be asleep. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, it's up to the individual to they themselves practice it and follow it, and then with time, that will become more standard. In other words, those who have grown up in the culture of Krishna consciousness, then Krishna consciousness is their culture. They'll want to follow that. Right? Does that make sense? Somebody grew up in Turkey. When they go to Germany, they want to wear their Turkish clothes. And they do it. You know what I'm saying? The Buddhists wear theirs. The Orthodox Jews wear theirs. You know? They come from a place. They like their food from their place. Or the Italians go to America. They still eat Italian food. They still wear their clothes the way Italians wear them. They don't wear them the way Americans wear them. Because Americans look like slobs. Italians look good. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So when you're dealing with a culture that doesn't have any and doesn't know that it exists, it's very hard. How do you explain to a blind person the concept of color or shape? It doesn't mean anything to them. So that's the problem. So the best thing is then train people in the culture where it is their culture, and then when they grow up, they'll run the society, and we won't have to worry about this anymore. Does that make sense? Takes a little longer, but effective.
So again, second and third generation, right?
Like that. Main thing is whoever is determined follows, then it works for them. They find a place to preach.
People come and with the interest of who are you, what is this, and then you can immediately start preaching. So yeah. Then it opens the dialogue.
Sure. Come on, who are you? Why do you ask? You know, is there a problem? Did I disturb you? Could you fill out this questionnaire here? You know, is my appearance disturbing to you? Did you feel that your chihuahua had a miscarriage because of my outfit?
I read in that there was Lonely Planet or some
Lonely Planet.
Some of the guide in America. On America, there was Americans are, you know, apparently very friendly. When they meet each other, they say, "Hi, how are you?" But don't start saying "How are you?" It's only a phrase, but they don't expect you to, you know, to elaborate on that.
Yes.
So you should say, "Oh, fine," and go away. But don't say, "No, really, no, how are you?"
Mm. Yeah, don't expect an answer. Yeah, probably, yeah, that's the way it is. That probably gives the example. The man's in the hospital, you know, tubes everywhere and that, and you come in, "Oh, how are you doing?" Yeah, great. You know. Yeah, better, fine. You know, like, how do you define better?
And also,
I got a better quality too.
I had seen devotees actually who are into book distribution. So those who distribute the books, just they want to give what's in the book to the people and no, actually explain and talk. They are not just result oriented. So then they can go in devotee and they can spend the time with the people and preach to them. But those who need to make the points, then they rather go in karma clothes, and then they just keep giving the books, and if nobody's interested, they just go away.
It's there. Yes.
Can you explain about what in the devotional clothes that means? Dhoti, Yogipata, and Chadar, or Kurtas can also be.
A kurta is part of the thing, those who like kurtas wear them. If it's practical, it works for them. See, because basically, chadars. You grow up wearing them, then you know how to wear them. You grow up wearing the dhotis and the chadars, then you know how to put them on for any occasion. You know how to keep them on. They don't bother you because you've always had them on, so you unconsciously take care of them. Problem is that an adult who's worn clothes that have always been sewn on, you know, then they don't know how to deal with something that has a variety of ways you could wear it. They can only put the shirt on one way, right? You know, and basically, you know, and the buttons go in a particular pattern, and that's it. You know, okay, you can leave one button open or two buttons, you know, so then, you know, like that. So then that's about as far as it gets. That's all you can do. So they don't know how to deal with stuff that falls off, right? But you give them a camera case and you give them a phone and you give them a whole bunch of other gizmos and gadgets. They can take care of that and they don't have any problem because that's what they've grown up with. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of conditioning. They don't like to deal with stuff like that, you know. The modern ladies, they're used to playing with their hair all day, playing with their outfits, you know, like that. But, you know, they don't have to worry it'll fall off. But they play with their clothes all day. But they don't know how to play with the Vedic clothes. So therefore, it's a problem, it's not practical, it's not this, it's not that. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't mean anything, you know. So it's just, you know, they say the sari is hard to wear and that. It's just as hard to wear a dhoti. You know what I'm saying? The bottom of the sari doesn't go anywhere. The bottom of the dhoti moves around. You know, plus you have a chadar that moves around. So it's not easier to wear a dhoti and chadar and harder to wear a sari. So the women that say you can't wear them in public, we can't wear them here, it's just bogus. You know? They'd rather play with their hair, that's it. They don't want to play with cloth, they want to play with their hair. So it's just conditioning, that's all. And attachment to that condition. You know, it's one thing if it's saying, okay, we have a class of devotees that are going to be more full-time or more committed to their practice of Krishna consciousness in the public eye. And so therefore, it's very encouraged that they wear the devotional clothes. Right? That's nice. But to say no one needs to wear it, that's got to be some problem, right? What would you think if the Catholics started to think, you know, why did the popes and cardinals and bishops and priests all have to wear, you know, funny clothes? They know they don't fit in. They don't want to fit in. They want you to know, I'm a bishop, I'm a priest. They walk down, the priest, a Catholic priest, Christian priest walks down the street, he wants you to know, you know, I'm Christian and I'm here. You want to talk to me, I'm here. They want you to know. So therefore, if an individual doesn't want to be like, fine, but don't make a philosophy that no one should. Right? Does that make sense? But that's a problem. You know, Prabhupada didn't want the sannyasis to wear karmic clothes. Right? Others might wear, but they shouldn't wear. Prabhupada didn't go into Singapore. Now here's one, you know, everyone can, you know, choke on. Prabhupada didn't go into Singapore because he wasn't going to wear karmic clothes. He comes in as a sannyasi. They like it, they let him in. They don't like it, he doesn't go in. Okay. So there has to be, at some point, some kind of concept of an idea, you know, what they would use it for. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had people in suits. And they would go, they would preach to the established British people. Not guys on the street, established people, guys who were running the place. Because in those days, the British, they ran the place. So they'd wear suits for them. But, you know, what kind of suits? Nice suits with ties and spats. Right? That's very formal. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, they wanted to. So, depending upon what the thing, they would create a dress for it. Yes, But then they'd all wear that, or they'd all wear this, or they'd, you know what I'm saying? So there's some standard. There's some standard. But if there's no standard, how does it work? Does that make sense? So basically, in saying all these things, it's not to establish a standard, it's to break down a standard. And to establish no standard as the standard. That makes sense.
It's concerning the male-female reason. When it reflects into the material world, essentially the male body, jiva, have to pretend, more or less, put on a show to be the male. So in that sense, we emulate the Krishna and his interactions with his female in the spiritual world.
As far as duties go, yes. As far as attitude, no. I mean, your general act means your attitude to perform and for your duties, yes, that's the same. But the overall attitude is not the same because we don't think we're male. We understand Krishna's male. He's the enjoyer. We're the enjoyed. So we're performing our duties for his pleasure. But it's a duty. Right? You could say, well, that's artificial. But then what about Sridham and Sudham? Right? Manomangal. They're not Vishnu Tattva. So then you could say it's artificial for them, or Nanda Baba. It's the pastime to please Krishna. So they take those male roles to please Krishna. So it's the same principle here. You say we're not this body, great, then stop acting like it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. Because that's the way it works. It's a reflection. It still works in the same way. Okay, so we'll continue then tomorrow with the focus endeavor and diva.